Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Delegate for Alexandria and parts of Arlington and Fairfax, and proudly serve in the Virginia House of Delegates, which is our state legislature. In fact, we're celebrating our 400th year as the oldest legislature in the Western Hemisphere in just a few weeks. I'll be down in Jamestown. Well, the 400th year of the Virginia House of Delegates was not a very proud moment for our institution. We just got back from our special session on guns. You may recall we had a horrific massacre in Virginia Beach, in my state, my Commonwealth. And the governor of Virginia ordered us back into special session to do something about guns. We all had different ideas. I supported a number of ideas, including universal background checks, keeping loaded guns away from toddlers, which I don't think is a good idea, restricting guns to the kind that are used by hunters and for self-defense, and taking military-style weapons off the street. That was my bill. Bills to require lost and stolen guns to be reported. Bills to require that if you have committed a crime of domestic violence, you shouldn't have access to your firearm. And if you threaten to kill someone, bills to let us take your gun away through protective orders, bills that had been introduced in Florida and passed, even in conservative places. Actually, my bill, part of my bill was to ban bump stocks. Even Donald Trump was okay with banning these mechanisms that convert a semi-automatic firearm to very close to a machine gun. So would the Republicans support any of that? No. Did they vote it all down? No, not quite. They simply adjourned the session. The total amount of time that the bills were debated was precisely 0 minutes and 0 seconds.
What?
We did give a few speeches at the outset, we Democrats, just general speeches on gun violence, but the bills themselves were tabled in about 10 seconds. All in block. They wouldn't even do it, had the decency to let us vote to each one, one by one. And the Republicans put off the session until after the election. So Virginia Republicans are making a very clear bet. It's their bet that the people of Virginia don't mind gun violence too much. Don't think we should do anything about gun violence. We should simply allow everyone to have easy access to guns. Al-Qaeda, sure. Mentally ill, sure. Mass murderers, sure. Gang violence, sure. Someone who has beaten up and almost killed his wife, sure. Everyone. Little children, right? We had a bill to say if you're under the age of 5, you should not be able to carry a loaded gun. Nope. Give those pre-K kids loaded weapons. And what's fascinating is that, that being their position, they refused to defend it. There were a few people that tweeted back and forth at me. I'll talk about some of those arguments. There were a few people that tweeted back and forth with me on some elements of my bill. But the Republicans I serve with, 201, every single one in the Virginia House of Delegates, in the Virginia Senate, refused to debate and refused to allow us to debate. They said, not only are we going to vote all your bills down, not only are we going to refuse to discuss with you how to make these bills better, not only are we going to refuse to debate our own bills, we're going to refuse debate. This gun violence has been decided, and we're okay with it. 1,000 Virginians dead a year, 40,000 Americans dead a year. This radio broadcast will take an hour. And in this broadcast, four Americans will be gunned down. Probably a bit more, because it's every 15 minutes when you average over the course of, you know, a year. Probably being the daytime, it may be 8 or 10 Americans gunned down. Maybe two-thirds by suicide. Maybe a third by murder. But a number of accidents sprinkled in. The question is, does anyone want to do anything about it? Republicans have a clear answer. The answer for them is no. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to debate anything. They think the solution is no solution. That dying in a hail of gunfire is just the cost of living in the modern world, even though no other country has even close to the amount of guns we have or the amount of gun deaths we have. No one is even close. I'm going to talk more about guns as this hour proceeds, but to me, it's a symptom of a larger issue. It's an issue of the proud support for doing nothing and aggrandizing power that represents today's Republican Party. If there's two things Republicans believe in, it's aggrandizing power, taking power, stopping democracy, stopping free speech, making sure that innocent people are thrown in jail, trying to prevent due process, trying to prevent democratically chosen legislatures through gerrymandering and such. End democracy. All hail the fearless leader. You're not going to criticize him. It doesn't matter if there's 22 sexual assaults. And there are, unless I've miscounted, and it's now 23. Doesn't matter if there are people who molest children. All the things that Republicans used to say they believe in, right? They used to believe in patriotism to country. They used to believe in fighting Russia. They don't believe in that anymore. They used to believe that America should respect the right of localities to decide what to do. Nope, that's not Republican value anymore. Free trade, no longer. What about immigration? Yeah, no, we hate immigrants now. All these supposed Republican values thrown out the window. A new book about Donald Trump and his times has come out. I have not read the book yet. But the book describes how the Republicans, after Donald Trump was publicly outed as someone who likes to grab women's private parts non-consensually. He did not use the word private parts. He used a much more crass word. I will not lower myself to the very base level of the President of the United States because I have ordinary human dignity. But we all know when that tape came out that Donald Trump not only bragged about sexually assaulting women, he said that they let you do it if you're famous. He had a right to sexually assault women. They let you do it. He moved on, married women like a B word is the word he used. He kissed them without their consent. He grabbed their most private parts without their consent. He bragged about it. And we all know some 22 women have come forward with detailed allegations of abuse. Republicans, don't give a damn. Now we find out Donald Trump's labor secretary is helping rich billionaires be pedophiles. Pedophilia, that was something Republicans used to care about. Remember when they didn't think gay people should be married because they accused all gay people of being pedophiles? Ridiculous, of course. Wrong. Factually wrong. There's no greater incidence of pedophilia among homosexuals and heterosexuals. But it was an excuse to not allow gay people have equal rights under the law. But now apparently they're fine with pedophilia, just like they're fine with sexual assault, just like they're fine with gun violence, just like they're fine with corrals on free speech, just like they're fine with blatant lawlessness. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Good people, and there are good people who are Republicans, suddenly throw all their values out the window. How does that happen? What is the source of Trumpism? Because conservative Republicans, people like George Will, people I disagree with, who recognize the incredible danger to our society that we face with someone like Donald Trump. So I'm not including them, the never Trumpers. I'm not including the Republicans, Justin Amash. Well, I guess he's no longer a Republican, right? He left the party. And then there's Jeff Flake. Oh, but wait, he's no longer a senator. And then there's John McCain, but he's dead. So I'm not including these people. I value their bravery. I value them standing up for American values. Not too many Republicans left, because those that have values tend to have left the party. But I want to explore the heart of Trumpism, whether it be in guns, whether it be in sexual crimes, whether it be in abortion. Let's throw one other element in the mix. You know, Alabama obviously just tried to ban abortion. They just passed a law banning abortion, even in cases of rape and even in cases of incest. It's illegal to destroy an embryo. I think it's unconstitutional under Roe v. Wade, but they passed the law. Well, the legislature did something very interesting in Alabama, because one of the Democrats on the floor said, well, you want to make it illegal to destroy an embryo. Egg and sperm come together. You call that a human being. You want to make it illegal to destroy it. Well, then I guess you can't discard all of those frozen embryos, right? When people go to fertility clinics, they've got most have dozens, and between us as a nation, we have some 400,000 frozen embryos that were never implanted. I guess you can't destroy those because those are human beings, right? Republicans said, no. We don't care about those embryos. They're not implanted in women. See, we don't care. Even though we think, our rhetoric says, these are fully live human beings, even though they're frozen in stasis for thousands of years. These are fully live human beings. But if they're not inside a woman, we don't care. We don't care. Discard the embryos. We only want to care when we can control women's bodies. If it's not in a woman, who cares? It's just an egg and a sperm. Now, I agree it's just an egg and a sperm. I don't think eggs and sperm are particularly valuable even when joined together. I don't think they're valuable until they're implanted in a woman and through time become a baby. But this idea that apparently if life begins at conception, we only care if it's implanted in a woman tells you that abortion is not about life. It's about controlling women. So the gun discussion, the abortion discussion, the sexual assault discussion, and then combined with the fact that Donald Trump continues to threaten, and he backs off, but God knows he may do it tomorrow, threatens to take millions of family members and take his cruel separation of parents from their children. Again, remember Republicans used to claim they agree with family values? Cruel separation and then do mass deportations. And this is supposed to be today's Republican value, today's Trumpist value. When we come back from break, I want to tell you where I think this is coming from. I think Trumpism is nihilism. I think Trumpism is people who do not like themselves trying to impose their self-hatred on all the rest of us. Misery loves company, and the Trumpists are miserable people. Be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The idea that Trumpism is just self-loathing turned outward. Oh, you can start with the president, right? I mean, this is a man who has failed at virtually everything. He's failed up. He did not do well in school. He was sent to military school because his father couldn't handle him. He lost more money than any American ever in the decade from 1985 to 1994, lost more than $1 billion. So he's a terrible businessman. He obviously doesn't feel right with women. That's why he molests and assaults so many of them. He, of course, bragged that he rapes who he wants to. He just doesn't rape the ones that aren't attractive. Remember, the woman said that he sexually assaulted her, and he said, no, I wouldn't sexually assault her. Sure, I sexually assault, but she's not attractive. But Trumpists are not so different from Donald Trump. And actually, while I have zero sympathy for Donald Trump, I do have some sympathy for the Trumpists. It's hard right now to live in rural America. Rural America is largely forgotten. In my Commonwealth of Virginia, my communities, Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax, are growing. They're busting. We're going to redistrict Virginia, and we're going to have several more represent these large population centers, but small geographic centers, because we have diversity. We have people from all over the world. We've got strong economies. We have all the creativity of all these great ideas. Our economies are booming. People want to live here. People don't want to live in rural Virginia. A lot of people, their populations are losing population. Not because they don't love it. Rural Virginia is beautiful. Shenandoah Valley, the mountains, fields, it's beautiful. But there are no jobs. People are leaving. It turns out that businesses want to be in a diverse place where there's lots of creative energies. They don't want to be in rural communities. And there's not a lot of infrastructure in rural communities. Lyndon Johnson understood the value of rural communities. He did rural electrification and plumbing back in the 1960s. But the main infrastructure we need right now is the internet. We need broadband for rural areas. I have pushed that in the Virginia General Assembly, and Republicans have turned me down, which is crazy since I represent an urban area and they represent the people I was trying to help. So their infrastructure is lousy. They're losing jobs. They're angry. Coal workers, right? Coal's not the future. Not just because it's not clean. It's not the most productive way to get energy. As an environmentalist, I got real problems with coal. But just as a simple economist, I can tell you the coal fields are dying. They've got less than a tenth of the people they had working a decade ago. So people are rightfully angry, but it's a question of where they direct their anger that explains Trumpism. It's not toward self-improvement. It's toward making others feel worse. And that doesn't help them either. This is Mark Levine, back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm always trying to put myself in the mind of a Trumpist. I'm always trying to understand where they're coming from. I don't know why they don't really try to understand where I'm coming from. They're always trying to make up lies about me or say things that they claim I said that I didn't say. I'll talk a little bit about that. But I really want to understand where they're coming from. I feel sorry for them, most of them. The people who are struggling, I feel sorry for anyone who's struggling. I get it. There's opioid addiction, ironically put forward by exactly the same people that Donald Trump supports, big pharmaceutical companies. Republicans love them, right? They make a fortune off of getting millions of Americans, tens of millions of people worldwide, hooked on opioids. For all the drug kingpins of Central America that we talk about, we don't talk about these people. Right? Remember, was it just 20 years ago? We were going to do death penalty for drug kingpins that bring in cocaine and all these things and crack. And we're going to take anyone who smokes crack and throw them in jail for 20 years. Three strikes, you're out. These addicts using this dangerous substance. But with opioids, we don't go after the manufacturers at all. In fact, the Republicans take massive donations from them. And as for the users, we don't put them in prison. At best, we try some rehab, which is good. I support rehab, but that wasn't around for the black folks who had addictions. And mostly we just let them die because they make profits for the big pharmaceutical companies. But that doesn't mean that poor whites or poor blacks, but poor rural people aren't suffering. They are. President Obama, before he was president, said, and he was criticized widely for it, that when people feel attacked, when conservatives feel attacked, they cling to their guns and their Bibles. And, oh my God, how could Obama say that? Is it untrue? Is it? I mean, I like my Bible, and I might cling to it myself when I'm in distress. They're certainly clinging to their guns. Lyndon Johnson, in 1960, before he was president of the United States, says a quote that I often repeat, but that I don't think I've heard anyone other than me say it. He said, quote, "If you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you." There's a long-running history of this. You can go back to the 1600s. The 1600s, when Jews, having been forced out of Spain and France and Germany, traveled east and finally arrived in Poland, and the Polish noblemen said, "Aha! These Jews want to live here. They can't live anywhere else. They'll be killed anywhere else. We'll let them live here. We'll make them collect our taxes. We mistreat the Polish peasants. We'll make the Jews be the tax collectors. That's the only thing we'll let them do. We won't let them own land." And they're going to go around to all these angry peasants who we mistreat and we give very little back, and they're the serfs on our feudal estates. We'll make them collect the taxes. And lo and behold, in the 1660s, the Polish peasants rose up against the brutal taxation by their overlords, led by a guy named Chmielnicki. And Bogdan Chmielnicki led his team of Poles, Ukrainians, to go out and fight the cruel mistreatment by the wealthy. And so he did, by murdering any Jew he could find. Meanwhile, the landowners laughed. They were protected. They kept collecting their taxes. Very wealthy people misuse and mistreat poor, white, uneducated Americans, particularly those in rural areas, all the damn time. They mess up their environment. They get them hooked onto drugs. They get them supporting deregulation, which just basically means that they allow unsafe products to mistreat people. They flood the market with guns. And let me say, guns kill white and black. In fact, studies show that the more guns that are around, the more people die. The highest per capita gun rate, it ain't in New York City and it ain't in Chicago. You know where it is? Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, rural areas. Flooded with guns, and yes, more people die with the guns. The least gun deaths per capita are in Hawaii, which has the strongest gun safety measures, but also, unlike Chicago, unlike D.C., doesn't have Indiana and Virginia next door flooding the market. It helps to be an island. Of course, Hawaii doesn't have as few guns as Japan, where there's basically no gun crimes, no gun murders. Or United Kingdom. But let's go back to the psychology of the people who are suffering, and they're white, and they need to look down on someone else because their life is really low. It's tough. The manufacturers are leaving. The infrastructure is gone. Donald Trump promised infrastructure, but he's not doing anything about it, is he? You'd think they'd vote for the Democrats. They support infrastructure, but they need someone to look down on. Maybe it's black people. Maybe it's immigrants. Maybe it's gay people. Maybe for men, it's women. You know about the whole incel movement, right? Involuntarily celibate. These men that apparently are upset they don't have enough sex, upset that they can't get any woman to like them, so rather than try to woo women to like them, decide to hate women and maybe even kill them. Yeah, that'll get you a date. But it's pathetic. It's dangerous, but it's still pathetic. The guys under the Ku Klux Klan robes, they are dangerous, but they're also pathetic. Their lives aren't working. No one loves them, or they feel like no one loves them. They don't love themselves. So they lash out. They lash out against others. They lash out against innocents. They lash out against immigrants, even though they're all descendants of immigrants. Right? I don't hear Native Americans lashing out against immigrants, although they'd have a right to. I don't have to think about my own life circumstances if I can blame someone else. And this is the genius of Trumpism. If you don't think society is working for you and you have all the advantages and it's still not working for you. When I say all the advantages, I don't mean advantages of wealth or education. I mean advantages of being white, advantages of you know, that kind of privilege, being an American citizen. I don't mean all the advantages, but my point is that you should have the power, your party's in control, to have a chance at equal opportunity, a chance at education, a chance at life, a chance at a good job. And you're not getting that. Well, it must be someone's fault. And the government isn't doing it for you. And you don't trust the government. You hate the government. And you just check out. You just check out. Have you ever seen a child throw a tantrum? The issue is long past. The child, the two-year-old, can't remember. It's this piece of candy they wanted, or they weren't allowed to go to the place they wanted to go to. But they start crying and yelling and screaming and banging so hard, they can't even remember what they're crying about. They're done. They checked out. They don't care anymore. The rage becomes more important than anything. That's why it doesn't matter that these so-called evangelicals who supposedly respect Christianity, they don't care that their president is a child molester or a rapist. They don't care. They don't care that he is going to harm them, the farmers. He's going to harm the very rural people that voted for him with these stupid tariffs. They don't care. They just want liberals to suffer. They live for Schadenfreude. You know what Schadenfreude is, of course. That's that wonderful German word, to take pleasure in others' pain. If they're not going to have any joy in their lives, it'll be damn sure you don't have any joy in your life. Bunch of people get massacred. Sucks to be you. It's not funny. It's not funny. These are people who just don't believe in government. They don't believe government can help anyone. They think government helps everyone except them. Oh, government helps the black people. Well, there's lots of government programs that help white people. Yeah. Whether it's mortgage deduction or whether it's rural electrification, Lyndon Johnson, or whether it's the TVA or whether it's Medicare or Social Security Oh, no, but they're giving welfare to the black folk. Well, you know, black folk, after working in slavery for hundreds of years, I think they've given a lot to America and haven't been paid for it. No, government should serve everyone, but they don't think government can work. And so they will tell you, we don't care who runs the government. I got an idea. Let's have a baboon. An orangutan, because it's orange. Let's have an orangutan run the government. Let's blow it all up. Let's put this dunce, this fool, this sexual assaulting jerk. Let's put him in the White House, because I don't care. That'll be funny. That'll be funny. Oh, I hate myself so much. My life is so miserable. I don't give a damn about my country or my countrymen. Let's just put a crazy man in there. That's so funny. He won? Oh, that's even funnier. And if my life is miserable, your life will be miserable too. You, those immigrants coming across our shores, struggling to escape persecution, working hard in construction, working hard in the farms, working hard in stores to make a better life for yourself. No. You can't be successful, because I'm not successful. And if I'm not successful, and you, who've had life so much harder than me, you become successful, what does that say about me? Oh, I can't focus on that. That's self-reflection. No. I'm going to make sure your lives are miserable. Women, you won't sleep with me? Fine, I'll make women's lives miserable. Immigrants, you're going to succeed over me. You're going to do better in school. You're going to do better. You're going to get better jobs. Even though I have all the advantages, I'm going to make your lives miserable too. All those gay people, you seem to be having fun, enjoying your life, having a loving relationship, I'm going to make your lives miserable. Liberals, all you people caring about the environment, let's just destroy the environment. Screw it all. I'm done. I'm out of here. It's not so different from the people who eventually pick up their weapons, shoot everyone, and then shoot themselves. It's sad. It's pathetic. And it's dangerous. Now, I'm not saying all Republicans are this way. Again, John McCain, may he rest in peace. George Will, Jeff Flake. There are conservatives who don't buy into this. I'm talking about your average Trumpist. And that's why they can't watch anything other than Fox News. They can't allow other images in, other ideas in. They've got to close off their brain, because opening their brain might just show them a mirror, might just show them the lives they lead. So ironically, even though I think Trumpism is dangerous and I think Trumpists are dangerous, it's kind of our role to make all our lives better off, including theirs. I've talked in the past about one of my favorite children's books. It's called A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Powerful book. I read it many, many times as a kid. One of the few books, by the way, that you read is a children's book where a woman is the hero of the story. And Meg is transported to this awful planet, Namzots or some weird name like that, where everybody marches in lockstep. And everyone does the same thing. And the little boy who bounces a ball out of rhythm with everyone else is seriously punished. And this world is controlled by it. And most of the book, you're trying to figure out who it is. And it is this disembodied brain. Sorry if I'm ruining the book for your kids. It's still worth it to read as adults. This disembodied brain that sends out these waves of hate. Everyone hates everyone. And it is the king of hate. And the question is, how do you fight it? It has taken over the soul of her little brother. And it, she can't do anything about it. It would be Donald Trump. It would be the leader of all of this. But she could love her little brother. She finds that hating it doesn't solve anything. But loving her little brother, loving those that support it, can. Reaching out to people who disagree with you, reaching out to people in rural areas, reaching out to people even who preach racism. And before you challenge their racism, which you should challenge, I am not saying let it go, before you challenge their misogyny, hating women, before you challenge their strong belief that they need guns everywhere or they feel unsafe, before you challenge their paranoia, you reach out as human beings, one-on-one. Talk about the weather. Talk about sports. Talk about something silly that a child is doing or a dog is doing. Reach out to people as human beings. Because the paranoia is severe. And you have to show folks that you care about them. You're going to vote to defeat the people that they're putting in power. As I said, they may not listen. I put forward a bill on rural broadband that was not accepted, even though I don't represent rural Virginia. But ultimately, I think the way to destroy, and this is, I'm sorry, I'm going to agree with Marianne Williamson here, the woman who I think is a little wacko who is running for president right now. But you do destroy hate with love. And you do it by showing love to everyone, whether it's the immigrant, whether it's someone struggling with a mental illness, and whether it's a poor white guy who totes his gun but really doesn't like himself very much in rural Virginia or anywhere else. Back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a couple of minutes left. The heart of Trumpism, right, is this dislike of oneself and trying to project that dislike onto others. And he does that really well. And Trumpists just want to blow up the system. They don't like their life. It's a Trumper tantrum, as they say. And that's what they want. And it's pathetic, but it's also dangerous. Thank you for listening, everyone here. We'll be back next Thursday at 3:00. And remember, it's hard, but try to see how someone's suffering. And maybe, just maybe, they can see the suffering in others. This is Mark Levine signing off.